Good morning, everyone. It's good to be together. I'm honored to have some family and friends with us today, including my three children, which is really special for Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, and really to all of us, as we all have a part within us that embodies motherhood. Let's take a slice of the ideal mother. The slice that takes the clenched hand of her newborn and gently, softly massages it open. The slice that takes her toddler onto her lap, who has a bruised knee from falling time and time again while learning how to walk and run, and gives him a big hug to help soothe the pain. Takes her school-aged child, who feels disappointment about not being chosen for a team, and gives her a big hug. Hugs her young adolescent child who is starting to compare herself to others and has feelings of being less than. And now this child is a teenager, and teenagers need compassion too. It's just that it gets more challenging to give compassion to a teenager, as anyone who has raised a teenager or who has been a teenager knows. So I'm going to leave that conversation for another day. I've only got about 10 minutes for a sermon. Can you imagine what it's like to watch this ideal mother? Or maybe you would prefer to imagine a father or sister or friend holding this child with compassion, not judging the child for falling, for feeling sad or disappointed, or feeling less than. Just holding the child with non-judgmental acceptance, like the sun that shines and nurtures everything here on earth without judgment. The heart of an ideal mother is open to every emotion her child expresses, gives space to whatever shows up. And now let's take a look at the other side of the equation, the mother. How does she treat herself? Well, working as a women's health nurse practitioner for over 20 years, I've been very aware of how women and mothers treat themselves. And it's not always with kindness. For example, let's consider how one of the doctors I worked with treated herself. She had just finished her maternity leave after the birth of her second child, and we were eating lunch together on Pi Day, March 14th, and there were lots of pies in our lunchroom. And she had this big piece of lemon meringue on her plate. As she finished it and she was reaching for another piece, she looked like she was going to start crying. The judgments she had about herself started oozing from her mouth. She shared how she felt like a failure, having no willpower, no discipline. Calling herself an overweight slob, I think those were her exact words, and called herself a bad mother for not being at home with her children, for not being home to nurse her baby. I stopped her before she could degrade herself anymore. I asked her if she would ever consider accusing any of her patients of being a failure, a bad mother, an overweight slob. Did she honestly believe that she had no discipline? What about the fact that she comes into work daily, delivers babies, does surgeries, pumps at work to maintain her milk supply for her baby? Does it not take discipline and willpower to do all of this? What she wasn't aware of were the feelings and needs she had underlying these judgments and how she was treating herself unkindly. Instead, she was living from the judgments about herself. I reminded her that it's hard being a new mom, working full time, being sleep deprived, hard to find time to care for yourself. Things I'm sure she's told her patients time and time again, but she couldn't tell herself this, couldn't treat herself with that same compassion. I asked her how she was feeling, which she had to think about for a bit. And then she came up with a list, which included feeling some sadness, some frustration, feeling regretful, and she even had some space to find some joy. She then paused and she smiled and took another bite of pie. What does it mean to treat ourselves with compassion? Thich Nhat Hanh, a Vietnamese Zen Buddhist monk who's the author of over 100 books, summed it up nicely in his book, The Sun, My Heart, which is the name of this sermon. He says, throughout your meditation, keep the sun of your awareness shining, like the physical sun, which lights every leaf and every blade of grass. Our awareness lights our every thought and feeling, allowing us to recognize them, be aware of their birth, their duration, and their dissolution, without judging or evaluating, welcoming or banishing them. It's important that you do not consider our awareness to be your ally, called on to suppress the enemies that are your unruly thoughts. Do not turn your mind into a battlefield. Do not have a war there. For all your feelings, joy, sorrow, anger, hatred, are part of yourself. Awareness is like an elder brother or sister, and then I added an ideal mother, gentle and attentive, who is there to guide and enlighten. It is there to recognize and identify thoughts and feelings, not to judge them as good or bad or place them into opposing camps in order to fight with each other. Opposition between good and bad is often compared to light and dark. But if we look at it a different way, we will see that when light shines, darkness does not disappear. It doesn't leave, it merges with the light. It becomes the light. It's the end of his quote. This pandemic, with all of its uncertainties, loss of lives and jobs, loss of ability to be close to our friends and family, has been fertile ground for all kinds of feelings, many of them unpleasant. When my two children living in Brooklyn came down with COVID-19, I became anxious and apprehensive. I started worrying about what might happen. My engineer husband actually was a bit more ramped up than me even, and he started researching how to make a ventilator, which, by the way, even for a guy who can do many things, he figured it would be near to impossible to make a ventilator. I didn't want my worry to add worry to, or what the Buddhists would call suffering, to my children. I figured this pandemic has offered much in the way of suffering. We don't need to add additional suffering to it. So I sat with my anxiety in a compassionate way, aware of my clenched jaw and tight neck, saying to myself, yep, this is what's happening. It's not easy having someone I love sick with COVID and living so far away. I'm anxious, and it's normal to feel anxious at times like this. I'm not the only one feeling anxious. What I found out that was, by doing so, the anxiety lessened its grip on me. There was a little give, a little relaxation, a little more room to breathe and be available to them in a compassionate way. For example, I was able to remind them that they have good immune systems and should recover well. The practice of self-compassion is a good tool to have in your toolbox when emotions run high. So this is the practice. Learn to become aware of your feelings. As Thich Nhat Hanh says, shine the sun of awareness on your feelings. Allow them in, no judgments. And be kind to yourself in the face of the feelings. It's a very different experience when we interact with the feelings we're having versus the stories we tell, the judgments we make about ourselves based on the feelings we're having. This practice is at the foundation of dialectical behavioral therapy, which leans heavily into the practice of mindfulness. Dialectic means opposites, and the opposites that come into play are acceptance versus change. So you might ask, how is just having awareness and acceptance of our feelings and being kind to ourselves in the midst of our feelings helpful? If we're aware and accept how we're feeling, doesn't that mean we become passive, approve of our feelings, and find no need for change in action? But actually, being aware and accepting of our feelings provides clarity about what is actually happening and not the story we tell ourselves about what's happening. We move out of the judgmental mind, the comparing mind, the labeling mind. We put the brakes on these thoughts and give space for our emotions. And by being compassionate with them, it helps to amp them down and gives us more breathing room so we can respond to our circumstances in a more skillful way, respond from our best selves with the help of our rational brain, not driven by our reactive, primitive brain that's hardwired to fight, flee, or freeze, which, by the way, I have a new appreciation of ever since I was charged by a moose this last year, but that's another sermon. What we need in these times of ours is a brain that is wired for resiliency, not for survival. Neuroscience points to meditation and mindfulness, including self-compassion practices, as a means of rewiring our brains for resiliency. They become a pathway for healing and for transformation. So I'd like to do a short self-compassion practice together right now, one that you can do anytime. This one is inspired by Kristen Neff, who is a professor in educational psychology and has done much research about self-compassion. So I'm just going to invite you to get comfortable, close your eyes or half close them, and we'll take a breath together, breathing in and breathing out. Think of a situation in your life that's difficult, that's causing you a little bit of stress, which isn't too hard to do in this pandemic time of ours. Call the situation to mind and see if you can actually feel where the stress shows up in your body. It might show up in your neck or facial muscles, maybe in your belly, making it harder to take a deep breath. Get a sense of where you hold the stress in your body. And with this awareness, let's say a few things to ourselves. First, this is stress, and it's normal to feel this way. This is a moment of suffering. And now say, suffering is a part of life. Other people feel this way. I'm not alone. This is part of our common humanity. Now I invite you to put a hand over your heart or maybe on your leg or whatever body part feels comfortable and feel the warmth and gentle touch of your hand. This is a helpful thing to do, particularly during this touch-deprived pandemic time. And we'll give ourselves a little nurturing. You can say something like, may I be kind to myself? May I treat myself as I would treat a friend? May I be patient? May I accept myself as I am? You could ask yourself, what do I need to hear right now to express kindness to myself? And you can open your eyes if they're closed and just come back toward the space together. This practice can be used any time of day or night, and like I said, is a good tool to have in your toolbox. So I hope you found something useful in this practice and in this service. I want to make mention of a few things before I end here. There's a service on May 24th in a couple weeks that looks like it'll dovetail really nicely with the service. It's given by a feminist Buddhist thinker, Pascal Engelmeyer, who is an associate professor at Carroll. And she's been studying the role of women, mothers, and mothering values in Buddhist history. So I think that should be really interesting. And if you'd like to explore meditation and mindfulness more, there's lots of opportunities to do so in our area, including the Monday Night Zen group that our member Eric Moraine leads. And there's a mindfulness group that meets Tuesday nights at the Waukesha Church that I'm a part of. Actually, both of these are on Zoom at this time, so you're welcome to join. So let's see. Maybe we all live by the phrase, the sun, my heart. Showing compassion for ourselves, And in doing so, we're better able to have compassion for the suffering of others. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. So I look forward to seeing you all soon. Thanks for being here. May you all stay healthy and be filled with loving kindness. Thank you.